This is Audible.
Harper Audio presents Warriors Number 5, A Dangerous Path by Aaron Hunter. Performed by McLeod Andrews. Prologue. Inside the kennel that moves, everything was dark. The pack leader could hear the scrabbling of claws and feel the sleek pelt of the dog next to him, but he could see nothing. Dog scent filled his nostrils, and beyond that, the smell of the burned forest. The pack leader sat uncomfortably on the vibrating floor until the kennel that moves bounced to a halt. Outside, he could hear man voices. He understood some of the words.
Fire. Keep watch. Guard dogs.
The pack leader picked up the men's fear scent along with the bittersweet smell of cut wood. He remembered coming here the night before, and the night before that. More than 4 paws worth of nights. He had prowled the compound with the rest of the pack, sifting through the scents for intruders, ready to drive them away. The dog snarled softly, his lips drawn back from sharp teeth. The pack was strong. They could run and kill. They craved warm blood and the terror scent of prey before it died. But instead they were penned up. They ate the food the man threw to them, and they obeyed the man's orders. The dog rose to his powerful paws, rattling the doors as he butted them with his massive black and tan head. He lifted his voice in a bark that sounded all the louder in the confined space.
Out! Pack out! Out now!
The rest of the pack added their voices.
Pack out! Pack run!
As if in answer, the doors of the kennel that moves were flung open. In the twilight, the pack leader could see the man standing there, barking an order. The leader jumped down first, close to a pile of logs stacked in the middle of the compound. His paws threw up little puffs of ash and soot. The rest of the pack followed in a stream of black and brown bodies.
Pack follow! Pack follow!
They barked. The leader padded restlessly along the fence that separated them from the forest. Beyond the fence, burned-out tree trunks leaned against each other or lay on the ground. Farther away, a barrier of undamaged trees rustled in the breeze. Scents flowed enticingly from the leaf-thick shadows. The dog's muscles tensed. Out there, in the prey-filled forest, the pack could run free. There would be no man to chain or command them. They would feed as often as they wanted, because they would be the strongest and most savage of all.
Free!
The lead dog barked.
Pack free! Free soon!
He walked up to the fence and pressed his nose against the mesh links, drawing the smells of the forest deep into his lungs. Many of the scents he had never smelled before, but there was one he knew well, stronger than the rest, the scent of his enemy and his prey.
Cats!
Night had fallen. The leafless branches of the blackened trees were silhouetted against a full moon. In the darkness, the dogs ranged to and fro, deep shadows in the night. Paws padded softly among soot and sawdust. Muscles rippled under shining coats. Their eyes gleamed. Their jaws were parted, revealing sharp teeth, and their tongues lolled. The pack leader sniffed along the bottom of the fence, searching for a special place on the opposite side of the compound from where the man stayed at night. 3 nights ago, the dog had discovered a narrow hole leading under the fence. He knew at once that this would be the route to freedom for the pack.
Hole? Where hole? He growled.
Then he spotted the place where the earth floor of the compound fell away into a hollow. 1 massive paw scraped at the ground. The dog raised his head to bark to his followers.
Here! Hole! Hole! Here!
He could feel their eagerness in his own mind, sharp as thorns, hot as carrion. They came bounding up to the lead dog, answering his bark.
Hole! Hole!
Bigger! Hole bigger!
The pack leader promised.
Run soon!
He began scraping at the ground again with all the strength in his lean, powerful body. Earth scattered as the hole under the chain-link fence grew wider and deeper. The remaining dogs milled around, snuffling at the night air that carried scents from the forest. They drooled at the thought of sinking their teeth into the warm bodies of living prey. The pack leader stopped, ears pricked for the sound of the man coming to check on them. But there was no sign of him, and his scent drifted from far away. The lead dog flattened himself on the ground and squirmed down into the hole. The bottom of the fence scraped along his pelt. The dog thrust hard with his hind paws, propelling himself forward until he could scramble up and stand in the forest outside.
"Free now," he barked. "Come, come."
The hole grew deeper still as each dog forced his way through to stand beside his leader among the burned-out trees. They padded back and forth, pushing their muzzles into the holes at the roots of trees, gazing into the darkness with eyes that glowed with a cold fire. As the last dog dragged itself under the fence, the pack leader raised his head and let out a triumphant bark.
"Run! Pack free! Run now!"
Turning toward the trees, he bounded away, powerful muscles working in a smooth rhythm. The pack streamed behind, their dark shapes flashing through the forest night. "Pack, pack," they thought. "Pack run." The whole of the forest was theirs, and in their minds, there was a single instinct.
Kill! Kill!
Chapter 1 Fireheart's fur bristled with disbelief and fury as he gazed up at the new leader of Shadow Clan standing on the great rock. He watched as the cat swung his massive head from side to side. Muscles rippled under his gleaming pelt, and his amber eyes seemed to glow with triumph.
"Tiger Claw!"
Fireheart spat. His old enemy, the cat who had tried to kill him more than once, was now one of the most powerful cats in the forest. The full moon rode high above four trees, shedding its cold light over the cats of the four clans, assembled there for the gathering. They had all been shocked to learn of the death of Nightstar, the Shadow Clan leader. But no cat in the forest had expected that Shadow Clan's new leader would be Tiger Claw, the former Thunder Clan deputy. Beside Fireheart, Darkstripe was rigid with excitement, his eyes glittering. Fireheart wondered what thoughts were going through the mind of his black-pelted clanmate. When Tiger Claw had been banished from Thunder Clan, he had invited his old friend to go with him, but Darkstripe had refused. Was he regretting that decision now? Fireheart caught sight of Sandstorm, weaving her way toward him.
"What's going on?"
the pale ginger she-cat hissed as she came into earshot.
"Tiger Claw can't lead Shadow Clan. He's a traitor!"
For several heartbeats, Fireheart hesitated. Shortly after he had joined ThunderClan, Fireheart had discovered that Tigerclaw had murdered Redtail, the deputy. Once Tigerclaw became deputy himself, he had led rogue cats to attack the ThunderClan camp, trying to murder their leader, Bluestar, so that he could take her place. As punishment, he had been banished from their clan and the forest. It was hardly a noble history for a leader of any clan.
"But Shadow Clan doesn't know about all that," Fireheart reminded Sandstorm now, keeping his voice low. "None of the other clans know."
"Then you should tell them."
Fireheart glanced up at Tall Star and Crooked Star, the leaders of Wind Clan and River Clan, respectively, who stood beside Tiger Star on the Great Rock. Would they listen if he told them what he knew? Shadow Clan had suffered so much from Broken Tail's bloodthirsty leadership, followed by a devastating sickness, that they probably wouldn't care what their new leader had done as long as he could forge them into a strong clan again. Besides, Fireheart couldn't help feeling a guilty relief that Tigerclaw had satisfied his hunger for power in a different clan. Maybe now ThunderClan could stop waiting for him to attack, and Fireheart could walk the forest without constantly glancing over his shoulder. Yet, as he struggled with his conflicting emotions, he knew that he would never forgive himself if he let Tiger Claw come to power without even making a protest.
"Fireheart!"
He turned to see Cloudpaw, his long-furred white apprentice, padding quickly toward him with the wiry brown warrior Mousefur just behind.
"Fireheart, are you just going to stand there and let that piece of fox dung take over?"
"Quiet, Cloudpaw," Fireheart ordered. "I know. Out." He broke off as Tiger Claw paced to the front of the great rock.
"I am pleased to be here with you at the gathering this night,"
The huge tabby spoke with quiet authority.
I stand before you as the new leader of Shadow Clan. Nightstar died of the sickness that took so many of my clan, and Star Clan has named me as his successor.
Tall Star, the black and white leader of Wind Clan, turned to him. Welcome, Tiger Star, he meowed, nodding respectfully. May Star Clan walk with you. Crooked Star meowed agreement as the new Shadow Clan leader dipped his head in acknowledgement.
I thank you for your greetings, Tiger Star replied. It's an honor to stand here with you, although I wish the circumstances could have been different.
Wait a moment, Tall Star interrupted him. There should be four of us here. He peered down at the crowd of cats below. Where's the leader of Thunder Clan? Go on. Fireheart felt a cat nudge him and glanced around to see that Whitestorm had joined the other ThunderClan warriors. You're taking Blue Star's place, remember? Fireheart nodded to him, suddenly unable to speak. He bunched his muscles and got ready to spring. A heartbeat later, he was scrambling to the top of the great rock to stand beside the three leaders. For a moment, the unfamiliar viewpoint took his breath away. He seemed to be far above the hollow, watching the changing patterns of light and dark on the cats below as the moon shone through the branches of the four massive oak trees. Fireheart shivered as he caught the pale gleam reflected from countless pairs of eyes. Fireheart? He looked up as Tall Star spoke. Why are you here? Has something happened to Blue Star? Fireheart dipped his head respectfully. Our leader breathed smoke in the fire, and she's not yet well enough to travel. But she'll recover, he added hastily. It's nothing serious. Tall Star nodded, and Crooked Star broke in testily.
Are we ever going to start? We're wasting moonlight.
Without waiting for a reply, the pale tabby River Clan leader gave the yowl that signaled the beginning of the meeting. When the murmuring of the cats below had died away, he meowed,
Cats of all clans, welcome to the gathering. Tonight we are joined by a new leader, Tiger Star.
He beckoned to the massive warrior with a flick of his tail.
Tiger Star, are you ready to speak now?
Thanking him with a courteous nod, Tiger Star stepped forward to address the assembled cats.
I stand here before you by the will of Star Clan. Nightstar was a noble warrior, but he was old, and he did not have the strength to fight the sickness when it came. His deputy, Cinderfur, died too.
Fireheart felt his fur prickling with unease as he listened. Clan leaders received 9 lives when they went to share tongues with Star Clan at Mothermouth, and Nightstar had become leader only a few seasons ago. What had happened to his 9 lives? Had Shadow Clan's sickness been so violent that it had taken all of them? Looking down, Fireheart caught sight of Running Nose, the Shadow Clan medicine cat, sitting with his head bowed. Fireheart could not see his face, but his hunched posture suggested that he was lost in misery. It must be hard for him, Fireheart thought, to know that all his skill had not been enough to save his leader.
Star Clan brought me to Shadow Clan when its need was greatest,
Tiger Star continued from on top of the great rock.
Not enough cats survived the sickness to hunt for the nursing queens and the elders, or to defend their clan, and no warrior was ready to take on the leadership. Then, Star Clan sent an omen to Running Nose that another great leader would arise. I swear by all our warrior ancestors that I will become that leader.
Out of the corner of his eye, Fireheart noticed that Running Nose was shifting uncomfortably. For some reason, he looked unhappy at the mention of the omen. Fireheart suddenly realized that his own task had become much harder. If there had been an omen, then Star Clan themselves must have chosen Tiger Star as the new leader of Shadow Clan. Surely it was not the place of Fireheart or any other cat to question their decisions. What could he say now that would not seem to challenge the will of their warrior ancestors?
Thanks to Star Clan, Tiger Star went on, I had other cats to bring with me, who have proven themselves willing to hunt and fight for their new clan.
Fireheart knew exactly which cats Tigerstar meant, the band of rogues who had attacked the ThunderClan camp. He could see one of them just below the Great Rock, a huge ginger tom sitting with his tail curled around his paws. The last time Fireheart had seen him, he had been grappling with Brindleface, trying to break into the ThunderClan nursery. Ironically, some of these rogues had grown up in ShadowClan and had supported the tyrannical leader Broken Tail. They had been driven out with their leader when ThunderClan had come to the aid of the oppressed clan. Tallstar stepped forward, a doubtful look in his eyes.
Broken Tail's allies were cruel and bloodthirsty, just as he was. Is it really wise to let them back into the clan?
Fireheart could understand Tallstar's misgivings, since these very cats had driven WindClan from their territory and had almost destroyed them. He wondered how many ShadowClan warriors shared his concern. After all, Broken Tail's own clan had suffered almost as much as WindClan had from their murderous leader's rule. He was surprised they would take the outlaws back.
Broken Tail's warriors obeyed him, Tigerstar replied calmly. Which of you wouldn't do the same for your own leader? The warrior code says that a leader's word is law.
He swiped his tongue around his muzzle before continuing.
These cats were loyal to Broken Tail. They will be loyal to me now. Blackfoot, who was Broken Tail's deputy, is my deputy now.
Tallstar still looked suspicious, but Tigerstar met his gaze steadily.
Tallstar, you are right to hate Broken Tail. He did great harm to your clan. But let me remind you that it was not my decision to take him into ThunderClan and care for him. I spoke against that from the first, but when Blue Star insisted on giving him sanctuary, loyalty to my leader meant that I had to support her.
The WindClan leader hesitated and then bowed his head.
That's true, he meowed.
Then all I ask is that you trust me and give my warriors a chance to show that they can honor the warrior code and prove their loyalty to ShadowClan once more. With the help of StarClan, my first task is to make ShadowClan well and strong again,
Tigerstar vowed. Perhaps, Fireheart thought hopefully, now that Tigerstar had achieved his ambition, he really would become a great leader. He had said that the outlaws deserved another chance. Perhaps the same was true of Tigerstar himself. Yet every hair in Fireheart's pelt was prickling. He still wanted to make it clear to Tigerstar that ThunderClan was not his for the taking. He was so deep in thought that he hardly realized that Tigerstar had finished addressing the assembled clans.
Fireheart, Tallstar meowed. Do you want to speak now?
Fireheart swallowed nervously and padded forward, the rock cool and smooth beneath his paws. Below, he could see Sandstorm and the other ThunderClan cats looking up at him expectantly. The pale ginger she-cat was watching him with a glow of admiration in her eyes. Feeling encouraged, Fireheart began to speak. He wasn't going to pretend that the ThunderClan camp had not been devastated by the recent fire, but he did not want to give the impression that the clan was weak. Leopard Fur, the RiverClan deputy, was listening intently. As Fireheart glanced at her, she narrowed her eyes as if she were measuring his words carefully. RiverClan had helped ThunderClan escape from the fire, and no cat knew better than Leopard Fur how vulnerable they were.
A few dawns ago, Fireheart reported, a fire started in Tree Cup Place and swept through our camp. Halftail and Patchbelt died, and the clan honors them. And we especially honor Yellowfang. She went back into the burning camp to rescue Halftail.
He bowed his head, memories of the old medicine cat threatening to overwhelm him.
I found her in her den, and I was with her when she died.
Wails of dismay broke out among the listening cats. Not only ThunderClan had reason to grieve for Yellowfang's death. Fireheart noticed Running Nose sitting erect and gazing upward, his eyes clouded with sorrow. He had been Yellowfang's apprentice when she was ShadowClan's medicine cat, before Broken Tail drove her out.
Our new medicine cat will be Cinderpelt, Fireheart went on. Blue Star suffered from breathing in smoke, but she is recovering. None of our kits were harmed. We are rebuilding our camp.
He did not mention the shortage of prey in the burned stretch of forest, or the way that the camp was still open to attack in spite of their efforts to rebuild the walls.
We must thank River Clan,
he added, with a respectful glance at Crooked Star.
They gave us shelter in their camp during the fire. Without their help, more of our cats might have died.
As Crooked Star acknowledged his words with a nod, Fireheart couldn't resist glancing down at Leopard Fur again. The River Clan deputy hadn't shifted her amber gaze from him. Pausing to take a deep breath, Fireheart turned to Tiger Star.
Thunder Clan accepts that Star Clan has approved your leadership, he meowed. As rogues, your followers stole from all four clans while they roamed the forest, so it is good that they have their own clan again. We trust that they will be bound by the warrior code and will keep to their own territory.
He thought he could see a gleam of surprise in Tiger Star's eyes and continued firmly.
But we will not tolerate any invasions into Thunder Clan territory. In spite of the fire, we are strong enough to drive out any cat who sets a paw over our borders. We have no fear of Shadow Clan.
One or two yells of agreement rose from his own warriors below. Tiger Star gave a slight dip of his head and spoke in a low rumble that carried no farther than the other cats on top of the great rock.
Brave words, Fireheart. You have nothing to fear from Shadow Clan.
Fireheart wished that he could believe him. Bowing his head in acknowledgement, he stepped back again, his fur flattening in relief that his turn to speak was over, and listened while Tall Star and Crooked Star gave the news from their own clans, word of new apprentices and warriors, and a warning of extra two legs by the river. When the formal part of the meeting was over, Fireheart sprang down to the group of ThunderClan warriors at the base of the rock.
You spoke well, meowed Whitestorm.
Sandstorm's eyes shone as she looked at Fireheart, and she pressed her muzzle against his neck. Fireheart gave her cheek a quick lick.
It's time to go, he meowed. Say your goodbyes, and if any cat asks, tell them that ThunderClan is doing fine.
Throughout the clearing, the groups of cats were breaking up as all four clans prepared to leave. Fireheart began looking around for the rest of his warriors. He caught sight of a familiar blue-gray shape and bounded across the hollow to join her.
Hi, Mistyfoot, he meowed. How are you? How's Graystripe? I didn't see him here tonight.
Graystripe had been Fireheart's first friend in ThunderClan. They had trained together as apprentices. But then, Graystripe had fallen in love with Silverstream, a young RiverClan warrior, and she had died bearing his kits. Graystripe had left his own clan to go with them to RiverClan, and though seasons had passed, Fireheart still missed him.
Graystripe didn't come,
the RiverClan queen sat down and curled her tail neatly around her paws.
Leopard Fur wouldn't let him. She was furious about the way he behaved during the fire. She says that in his heart, he's still loyal to ThunderClan.
Fireheart had to admit that Leopard Fur was probably right. Graystripe had already asked Blue Star if he could come back to ThunderClan, but she had refused.
So how is he?
Fireheart repeated.
He's fine, Mistyfoot meowed. So are the kits. He asked me to find out how you were doing after the fire. Blue Star's not seriously ill, you say? No, she'll be better soon.
Fireheart tried to sound confident. It was true that Blue Star was recovering from the effects of breathing smoke, but for some moons now, the ThunderClan's leader's mind had been clouded. She had begun to doubt her own judgment, and even to question the loyalty of her warriors. The discovery of Tiger Star's treachery had shaken her to her core, and Fireheart couldn't help worrying about how she would react to the news that the deputy she had exiled was now leader of Shadow Clan.
I'm glad to hear that she is recovering.
Mistyfoot's mew broke into his thoughts.
Fireheart twitched his ears. How's Crooked Star?
He asked, changing the subject. The RiverClan leader had seemed frail when he had allowed ThunderClan to shelter in his camp, and tonight, next to Tiger Star, he looked even older than Fireheart remembered. But maybe that wasn't surprising.
The River Clan leader had had to cope with floods that had driven his cats out of their camp, and with a shortage of prey because two-leg rubbish had poisoned the river. More than all that, Graystripe's beloved Silverstream had been Crooked Star's daughter, and her death had caused him much grief.
"He's okay," meowed Mistyfoot. "He's been through a lot recently. Mind you, I'm more concerned about Graypool," she added, naming the cat who had raised her from kidhood. "She seems so old now. I'm afraid she'll go to Star Clan soon."
Fireheart would have liked to give the young queen a comforting lick, but he was not sure how the River Clan cat would take that from a cat of another clan. Apart from Graypool, Fireheart was the only cat who knew that the frail River Clan elder was not the real mother of Mistyfoot and her brother Stonefur. Their father, Oakheart, had brought them to River Clan when they were tiny kits, and Graypool had agreed to take care of them. Their real mother was Blue Star. As Fireheart murmured sympathetically and said his goodbyes to Mistyfoot, he couldn't help feeling that trouble was still in store for both clans because of Blue Star's secret. Chapter 2. The sky was growing pale with the first light of dawn when Fireheart and his warriors returned to the ThunderClan camp. Although Fireheart knew what he would find, it was still a shock to reach the top of the ravine and gaze down at the devastation. All the covering of gorse and fern had been stripped away by the fire. The earth floor of the camp was left exposed, surrounded by the blackened remains of the wall of thorn bushes that was shored up with branches where the clan cats had begun to repair it.
"Will it ever be the same?" Sandstorm meowed softly as she came to stand beside him.
A wave of exhaustion flooded over Fireheart as he thought of how much time and work it would take before the camp was fully rebuilt.
"One day," he promised. "We've been through bad times before. We'll survive."
He pressed his muzzle against Sandstorm's flank, taking comfort from her reassuring purr, before he led the way down the ravine. The bush where the warriors slept was still there, but the thick canopy of twigs had been burned away. Only a few charred branches remained, the gaps between them interwoven with sticks. Brackenfur was crouched outside, while Longtail sat on watch near the entrance to the nursery, and Dustpelt paced back and forth in front of the elder's den. Brackenfur sprang to his paws as Fireheart and the others appeared, only to relax a moment later.
"It's you," he meowed, relief in his voice. "We've been expecting Tiger Claw all night."
"Well, you can stop worrying," Fireheart meowed. "He's too busy to worry about us. Tiger Star is the new leader of Shadow Clan."
Brackenfur stared in astonishment.
"Great Star Clan,"
he said with a gasp.
"I don't believe it."
"What did you say?"
Fireheart turned to see Longtail loping across the clearing.
"Did I hear you right?"
"You did." Fireheart could see the shock in the tabby warrior's face. "Tiger Star has taken over Shadow Clan."
"And they let him?"
meowed Longtail.
"Are they mad?"
"Not mad at all," Whitestorm replied, coming up to stand beside Fireheart.
The elderly warrior scraped the bare earth with his paws and settled down on his haunches with a tired sigh. His thick white fur was stained with soot after the journey back through the forest.
"The sickness almost destroyed the Shadow Clan cats. They were desperate for a strong leader. Tiger Star must have seemed like a gift from Star Clan."
"It sounds like that's just what he was," Fireheart agreed heavily. "Apparently Star Clan sent an omen to Running Nose to tell Shadow Clan that a great leader would arise."
"But Tiger Star is a traitor,"
Brackenfur protested.
"Shadow Clan doesn't know that," Fireheart pointed out.
By this time, other cats were appearing. Brightpaw and Swiftpaw ran over from the apprentice's den. Dustpelt padded up with Darkstripe's apprentice, Fernpaw. Speckletail peered curiously out from the nursery. As they pressed around Fireheart with their questions, he had to raise his voice to make himself heard.
"Listen, all of you," he meowed. "There's something you need to hear."
"And I have to tell Blue Star," he added silently, bracing himself for the encounter.
"Whitestorm will tell you what happened at the gathering," he went on. "And then I want a dawn patrol."
He hesitated, looking around at the assembled cats. All the warriors were tired, Those who hadn't been to the gathering had stayed awake to guard the camp. Before Fireheart could decide who to send, Dustpelt spoke.
Ashpaw and I will go.
Fireheart dipped his head gratefully. The brown warrior had never been friendly toward him, but he was a loyal cat to ThunderClan, and he seemed to accept Fireheart's authority as deputy.
I'll go too,
Mousefur offered.
And me,
meowed Cloudpaw. Fireheart let out a purr of appreciation at his apprentice's words. He was pleased that his sister's son was working harder for the clan and showing more commitment to clan life after the disastrous episode when he was taken away by Two Legs and had to be rescued. Dustpelt, Mousefur, Cloudpaw, and Ashpaw, then, he meowed. The rest of you get some sleep. We'll need hunting patrols later on.
What about you?
Asked Darkstripe. Fireheart took a deep breath. I'm going to speak to Blue Star. The curtain of lichen had been burned away from the entrance to Blue Star's den at the base of the High Rock. As Fireheart approached, Cinderpelt, ThunderClan's medicine cat, emerged into the clearing and paused to stretch. Her dark gray fur was ruffled, and she looked worn out from the strain of caring for the clan in the aftermath of the fire, but the strength of her spirit still shone in her blue eyes. Fireheart was reminded of the time when she had been his eager apprentice, until she had been lured too close to the Thunderpath in a trap that Tigerclaw had set for Blue Star. The young cat's leg had been permanently injured, so she could never be a warrior, but she had always kept her commitment to serving her clan. Fireheart padded up to her.
How is Blue Star today?
He asked quietly. Cinderpelt cast a worried glance back into the den.
She didn't sleep last night,
she replied.
I've given her juniper berries to calm her, but I don't know if they'll do any good.
I need to tell her what happened at the gathering, Fireheart meowed. And she's not going to like it. Cinderpelt's eyes narrowed.
Why not?
As quickly as he could, Fireheart told her. Cinderpelt listened in shocked silence, her blue eyes wide with amazement.
What will you do?
She asked when Fireheart had finished. There isn't much I can do. Besides, it could be a good thing for ThunderClan. Tiger Star's got what he wants now, and with any luck, he's going to be far too busy working his new clan into shape to bother about us. Seeing that Cinderpelt looked disbelieving, he added hastily, Who they choose for leader is Shadow Clan's business. We'll have to keep a watch on our borders, but I don't believe Tiger Star will be much of a threat, for a while at least. I'm more worried about how Blue Star is going to take it.
This is going to make her worse, Cinderpelt meowed anxiously. I only hope I can find the right herbs to help her. I wish Yellowfang were here.
I know. Fireheart pressed himself comfortingly against Cinderpelt's side. But you'll be fine. You're a great medicine cat.
It's not just that.
Cinderpelt's voice dropped to a painful whisper.
I miss her, Fireheart. I keep waiting for her to tell me I haven't the sense of a newborn kit. At least when she praised me, I knew she really meant it. I want her, Fireheart. Her scent and the feel of her fur and the sound of her voice.
I know, Fireheart murmured. He felt an emptiness inside as memories of the old cat flooded over him. He had been very close to Yellowfang, ever since he had discovered her living as a rogue in ThunderClan territory. But she hunts with StarClan now. And perhaps she had found peace at last, he reflected, as he remembered the torment in Yellowfang's voice as she died thinking of her son, Broken Tail, the murderous cat she had never stopped loving, even though he had grown up without knowing she was his mother. In the end, she had killed him to save her adopted clan from his bloodthirsty scheming. Yellowfang's pain was at an end, but Fireheart could not imagine that he would ever stop missing her.
You go to Highstone soon, don't you?
He reminded Cinderpelt.
To meet the other medicine cats? I think you'll feel very close to Yellowfang then. Maybe you're right,
Cinderpelt pushed away from him.
I can just hear Yellowfang now, she meowed. Why are you standing around moaning when there's work to be done? You go and talk to Blue Star. I'll look in on her again a bit later on.
If you're sure you're okay, mewed Fireheart.
I'm fine.
Cinderpelt gave his ear a quick lick.
Be strong for her, Fireheart, she urged. She needs you more than ever.
Fireheart watched the medicine cat as she limped rapidly away and then turned toward Blue Star's den. Taking a deep breath, he called a greeting and entered through the gap where the lichen used to grow. Blue Star was crouched on a pile of bedding at the back of the cave, her forepaws tucked under her chest. Her head was raised, but she was not looking at Fireheart. Instead, her blue eyes were blank, fixed on something far away that only she could see. Her pelt was rough and unwashed, and she was so thin that Fireheart could see every rib. His heart twisted with pity for her and fear for the rest of his clan. Their leader had diminished into an old, sick cat, broken by trouble and unable to defend herself, let alone her clan. Blue Star? Fireheart meowed hesitantly. At first he thought that Blue Star had not heard him. Then, as he padded farther into the den, she turned her head, her cloudy blue gaze focused on him, and for a heartbeat she looked puzzled, as if she couldn't remember who he was. Then her ears pricked, and intelligence flooded back into her eyes.
Fireheart? What do you want?
Fireheart dipped his head respectfully.
I'm just back from the gathering, Blue Star. I'm afraid there's bad news.
He paused.
Well?
Blue Star sounded irritable.
What is it?
Shadow Clan has a new leader, Fireheart meowed.
He plunged straight on.
It's Tiger Claw. Tiger Star, now.
In an instant, Blue Star leaped to her paws. Her eyes blazed cold fire, and Fireheart flinched at the reminder of the formidable cat she had once been.
That's impossible,
she hissed.
No, it's true. I saw him myself. He spoke from the Great Rock with the other leaders.
For a few moments, Blue Star did not reply. She paced from one side of the den to the other and back again, her tail lashing. Fireheart backed toward the entrance, not at all sure that Blue Star wouldn't attack him for bringing this terrible news.
How dare Shadow Clan do this?
She spat at last.
How dare they shelter the cat who tried to murder me and make him their leader?
Blue Star, they don't know,
Fireheart began, but the ThunderClan leader was not listening to him.
And the other leaders?
She demanded.
What did they think? How could they let this happen?
No cat knows what Tiger Star did to ThunderClan.
Fireheart struggled to make Blue Star think logically.
Crooked Star didn't say much, although Tall Star was unhappy at first that Tiger Star had taken Broken Tail's old followers back into the clan.
Tall Star,
Blue Star spat.
We should know by now that we can't trust him. After all, it didn't take him long to forget what we did for his clan, after you and Graystripe risked your lives to find them and bring them home.
Fireheart started to protest, but Blue Star ignored him.
Star Clan has abandoned me,
she went on, still pacing furiously.
They told me that fire would save the clan, but fire has almost destroyed us. How can I ever trust Star Clan again, especially now? They have granted a leader's 9 lives to that traitor. They care nothing for me or for Thunder Clan.
Fireheart flinched. Blue Star, listen.
No, Fireheart, you listen.
Blue Star padded over to him. Her fur was fluffed up and her teeth bared in anger.
Thunder Clan is doomed. Tiger Star will lead Shadow Clan to destroy us all, and we can expect no help from Star Clan.
Tiger Star didn't seem hostile,
Fireheart was desperately trying to get through to his leader.
When he spoke, all he seemed to care about was leading his new clan.
Blue Star let out a crack of harsh laughter.
If you believe that, Fireheart, you're a fool. Tiger Star will be here before leaf fall. You mark my words.
But he'll find us waiting for him. If we're all going to die, we'll take a few of Shadow Clan with us.
She began pacing rapidly back and forth again, while Fireheart watched, appalled.
Double the patrols, she ordered. Set a watch on the camp. Send cats to guard the border with Shadow Clan.
We haven't enough warriors for all that,
Fireheart objected.
Every cat is exhausted with the extra work rebuilding the camp. It's all we can do to keep up the regular patrols.
Are you questioning my orders?
Blue Star whipped around to face him again, drawing her lips back in a snarl. Her eyes narrowed suspiciously.
Or are you going to betray me too?
No, Blue Star, no! You can trust me!
Fireheart tensed his muscles, half expecting that he would need to dodge Blue Star's slashing claws. Suddenly, the old leader relaxed.
I know, Fireheart. You've always been loyal. Not like those others.
As if the strength of her fury had exhausted her, she limped back to her bedding.
Set the patrols, she ordered, sinking down in the soft moss and heather. Do it now, before Shadow Clan makes crow food of us all.
Yes, Blue Star. Fireheart saw no point in arguing anymore. He bowed his head and backed out of the den. Blue Star's gaze was once more fixed on something unseen. Fireheart wondered if she was looking into the future and watching the destruction of her clan. Chapter 3 Fireheart opened his eyes and blinked in the uncomfortably bright sunlight. He still couldn't get used to the way the sun shone straight into the warrior's den, now that the thick covering of leaves had gone. Yawning, he uncurled himself and shook the clinging scraps of moss from his coat. Close beside him, Sandstorm was still asleep. Dustpelt and Darkstripe were curled up a little farther away. Fireheart padded out into the clearing. It was 3 days since the gathering and the discovery of Tiger Star's new leadership, and there was still no sign of the attack Blue Star had feared. ThunderClan had used the time to rebuild the camp, and although there was still a long way to go, Fireheart couldn't help feeling pleased when he saw shady walls of fern beginning to grow back around the edge of the camp, and the bramble thicket firmly interlaced with twigs to shelter the nursing queens and their kits. As Fireheart made his way toward the pile of fresh kill, he saw the Dawn Patrol returning with Whitestorm in the lead. Fireheart paused and waited for the White Warrior to join him. Any sign of Shadow Clan? Whitestorm shook his head.
Nothing, he meowed. Just the usual scent markings along their border. There was one thing, though.
Fireheart's ears pricked.
What? Not far from Snake Rocks, we found a whole stretch of undergrowth trampled down and pigeon feathers scattered all over it.
Pigeon feathers, Fireheart echoed. I haven't seen a pigeon for days. Is some other clan hunting in our territory?
I don't think so. The whole place reeked of dog.
Whitestorm wrinkled his nose with distaste.
There was dog dirt there, too.
Oh, a dog. Fireheart flicked his tail dismissively. Well, we all know that two legs are always bringing their dogs into the forest. They run around, chase a few squirrels, and then the two legs take them home again. He let out a purr of amusement. The only unusual thing is that it looks as if this one caught something.
To his surprise, Whitestorm continued to look serious. All the same, I think you should tell the patrols to keep their eyes open, he meowed.
Okay. Fireheart respected the older warrior too much to ignore his advice, but privately he thought the dog would be a long way away by now, shut up somewhere in Two-Leg Place. Dogs were noisy nuisances, but he had more important things to worry about. He was reminded of his anxiety about food supplies as he followed Whitestorm to the pile of fresh kill. Brightpaw, Whitestorm's apprentice, and Cloudpaw, who had made up the rest of the patrol, were already there.
Look at this,
Cloudpaw complained as Fireheart came up. He turned a vole over with one paw.
There's hardly a decent mouthful on it.
Prey is scarce, Fireheart reminded him, noticing there were only a few pieces of fresh kill on the pile. Any creatures that survived the fire can't find much to eat.
We need to hunt again,
Cloudpaw meowed. He bit into the vole and swallowed.
I'll go as soon as I've finished this.
You can come with me, mewed Fireheart, selecting a magpie for himself. I'm going to lead out a patrol later on.
No, I can't wait,
Cloudpaw mumbled through another mouthful.
I'm so hungry I could eat you. Brightpaw, do you want to come with me?
Brightpaw, who was neatly tucking into a mouse, glanced at her mentor for permission. When Whitestorm nodded, she sprang up.
Ready when you are,
she meowed. All right then, mewed Fireheart. He was slightly annoyed that Cloudpaw hadn't asked for his mentor's permission like Brightpaw, but the clan did need fresh kill, and both the apprentices were good hunters. Don't go too far from camp, he warned.
But all the best prey is farther away, where the fire didn't reach,
Cloudpaw objected.
We'll be fine, Fireheart,
he promised.
We'll hunt for the elders first.
Swallowing the last of his vole in one enormous gulp, he dashed off toward the camp entrance with Brightpaw racing after him.
Stay away from Two-Leg Place,
Fireheart called after them, remembering how Cloudpaw had once been all too fond of visiting the Two-Legs. The apprentice had paid a harsh price when they had taken him away to their nest on the far side of WindClan's territory. As Greenleaf drew to an end, with the prospect of a hungry leaf bear to come, Fireheart hoped that his apprentice wouldn't be tempted back into his old ways.
Apprentices, Whitestorm purred as he watched the two young cats bounding away. Dawn patrol, and now they're off hunting. I wish I had their energy.
He dragged a blackbird a little way from the pile of fresh kill and crouched down to eat. As Fireheart finished his magpie, he saw Sandstorm padding across the warrior's den. The sun shone on her pale ginger coat, and Fireheart admired the ripple of her fur as she moved.
Do you want to come and hunt with me?
He asked as she approached.
Looks as if we need it,
Sandstorm replied, surveying the pitifully few pieces of fresh kill that remained.
Let's go now. I can wait to eat until we catch something.
Fireheart looked around for another cat to join them and noticed Longtail heading for the apprentice's den, calling for Swiftpaw.
Hey, Longtail,
he meowed as the two cats padded across the clearing.
Come and join our hunting patrol.
Longtail hesitated, as if he wasn't sure whether that was an order from his deputy or not.
We were going to the training hollow, he explained. Swiftpaw needs to practice his defense moves.
You can do that later.
This time, Fireheart made it clear that he was giving an order. The clan needs fresh kill first. Longtail flicked his tail irritably, but said nothing. Swiftpaw was looking more enthusiastic, his eyes bright. The young black and white Tom had grown almost as big as his mentor, Fireheart noticed. He was the oldest of the apprentices, and he could expect to be made a warrior soon.
I must talk to Blue Star about his naming ceremony, Fireheart thought. Cloudpaw, too, and Brightpaw and Thornpaw. The clan needs more warriors.
Leaving Whitestorm to take a well-earned rest, Fireheart led his hunting party out of the camp and up the ravine. At the top, he turned toward Sunning Rocks. Doing his best to carry out Blue Star's order about doubling the patrols, he had instructed all the hunting parties to do border duty as well, staying alert for other clans' scents or any other signs of an enemy presence. In particular, he had warned them to keep a careful watch on the Shadow Clan border, but privately, he resolved not to neglect River Clan. He had an uneasy feeling about their relationship with Thunder Clan. With Crooked Star growing old, his deputy, Leopard Fur, would have more authority, and Fireheart still expected her to ask for something in return for River Clan's help on the night of the fire. As Fireheart led the way toward the river, he noticed plants pushing their way up through the blackened soil. New ferns were beginning to uncoil, and green tendrils spread out to cover the earth. The forest was beginning to recover, but as leaf fall approached, growth would slow down. Fireheart was still worried that his clan was heading for a cold and comfortless leaf bear. When they reached Sunning Rocks, Longtail led Swiftpaw into one of the gullies between the rocks.
You can practice listening for mice and voles, he told his apprentice. See if you can catch something before the rest of us.
Fireheart watched them go approvingly. The pale tabby warrior was a conscientious mentor, and a strong bond had grown between him and Swiftpaw. Fireheart skirted the rocks on the side that faced the river, where more of the grass and foliage had survived. It was not long before he spotted a mouse scuffling among some brittle grass stems. As it sat up, nibbling a seed clasped in its forepaws, Fireheart sprang and finished it off swiftly.
Good work, Sandstorm murmured, padding up to him. Do you want it? Fireheart asked, pushing the fresh kill toward her with one paw. You haven't eaten yet. No, thanks, meowed Sandstorm tartly. I can catch my own.
She slipped off into the shadow of a hazel tree. Fireheart looked after her, wondering if he'd offended her, and then started to scrape earth over his prey so it could be collected later.
You want to watch out with that one,
a voice meowed behind him.
She'll claw your ears off if you're not careful.
Fireheart spun around.
His old friend Graystripe was standing on the border with RiverClan, farther down the slope toward the river. Water gleamed on his thick gray pelt.
Graystripe! Fireheart exclaimed. You startled me!
Graystripe gave himself a shake and sent droplets sparkling into the air.
I saw you from the other side of the river,
he mewed.
I never thought I'd find you catching prey for Sandstorm. Special to you, is she?
I don't know what you're talking about, Fireheart protested. His fur suddenly felt hot and prickled as if ants were crawling through it.
Sandstorm is just a friend.
Graystripe let out a purr of amusement.
Oh, sure, if you say so.
He strolled up the slope and lowered his head to butt Fireheart affectionately on the shoulder.
You're lucky, Fireheart. She's a very impressive cat.
Fireheart opened his mouth and then closed it again. Graystripe wouldn't be convinced, no matter what he said. And besides, maybe he was right. Maybe Sandstorm was becoming more than a friend.
Never mind that, he meowed, changing the subject. Tell me how you're getting on. What's the news in RiverClan?
The laughter died from Graystripe's yellow eyes.
Not much. Every cat is talking about Tigerstar.
When Graystripe had been a ThunderClan warrior, he and Fireheart had been the only cats to know the truth about Tigerstar's murderous ambition, and that he had killed the former ThunderClan deputy, Redtail.
I don't know what to make of it, Fireheart admitted. Tigerstar might be different now he's got what he wants. No cat can deny that he could make a good leader. He's strong, he can fight and hunt, and he knows the warrior code by heart.
But no cat can trust them, Graystripe growled.
What's the point of knowing the warrior code if all you do is ignore what it says?
It's not up to us to trust him now, Fireheart pointed out. He's got a new clan, and Running Nose reported an omen that seemed to say StarClan would be sending them a great new leader. StarClan must know that ShadowClan needs a strong warrior to build them up again after the sickness. Graystripe didn't look convinced.
StarClan sent him?
He snorted.
I'll believe that when hedgehogs fly.
Fireheart couldn't help agreeing with Graystripe that it would be hard to trust Tigerstar. Making his new clan healthy again might occupy him for a season or two, but after that... The thought of the fierce warrior at the head of a strong clan sent a shudder through Fireheart from ears to tail tip. He couldn't believe that Tigerstar would settle down to a peaceful life in the forest, respecting the rights of the other three clans. Sooner or later, he would want to extend his territory, and his first target would be ThunderClan.
If I were you,
meowed Graystripe, echoing his thoughts.
I'd keep a very careful watch on my borders.
Yes, I...
Fireheart began. He broke off as he saw Sandstorm coming toward him, a young rabbit dangling from her jaws. She padded across the pebbles and dropped her prey at Fireheart's feet. Looking more relaxed, as if she had gotten over her brief annoyance, she nodded to the RiverClan warrior.
Hi, Graystripe,
she mewed.
How are the kits?
They're fine, thanks,
Graystripe replied. His eyes glowed with pride.
They'll be apprenticed soon.
Will you mentor one of them?
Fireheart asked. To his surprise, Graystripe looked uncertain.
I don't know,
he meowed.
If it were Crooked Star's decision, maybe. But he doesn't do much these days except sleep. Leopard Four organizes most things now, and she'll never forgive me for the way White Claw died. I think she'll probably give the kits to some other warriors to mentor.
He bowed his head. Fireheart realized he still felt guilty about the death of the RiverClan warrior who had fallen into the gorge when his patrol attacked a small group of ThunderClan warriors.
That's tough,
meowed Fireheart, pressing himself comfortingly against Graystripe's side.
But you can see her point,
Sandstorm pointed out mildly.
Leopard Fur will want to make sure that the kits are brought up to be completely loyal to RiverClan.
Graystripe swung his head around to face her, his fur bristling.
That's just what I would do. I don't want my kits to grow up feeling torn between two clans.
His eyes clouded.
I know what that's like.
Pain for his friend flooded over Fireheart.
After the fire, Graystripe had shown how unhappy he was in his new clan, and clearly things were no better now.
Fireheart wanted to say, come home, but he knew he had no right to offer Graystripe a place in the clan when Blue Star had already refused. Speak to Crooked Star, he suggested. Ask him yourself about the kits.
And try to stay on the good side of Leopard Fur, added Sandstorm. Don't let her catch you crossing the ThunderClan border.
Graystripe flinched.
Maybe you're right. I'd better be getting back. Goodbye, Sandstorm, Fireheart.
Try to come to the next gathering,
Fireheart urged. Graystripe flicked his tail in acknowledgement and padded off down the slope. Halfway to the river, he turned, meowed,
wait there a moment,
and raced down to the edge of the water. For several heartbeats, he sat motionless on a flat stone, gazing down into the shallows. Now what's he up to? Sandstorm muttered. Before Fireheart could reply, Graystripe's paw darted out. A silver fish shot out of the stream and fell to the bank, where it lay flopping and wriggling. Graystripe finished it off with a single blow of his paw and dragged it back up the slope to where Fireheart and Sandstorm stood watching.
Here, he meowed as he dropped it. I know prey must be scarce since the fire. That should help a bit.
Thanks, meowed Fireheart, and added admiringly. That was a neat trick back there.
Graystripe let out a purr of satisfaction.
Mistyfoot showed me how.
It's very welcome, Sandstorm told him. But if Leopard Fur finds out you've been feeding another clan, she won't be pleased.
Leopard Fur can go chase her own tail,
Graystripe growled.
If she says anything, I'll remind her how Fireheart and I helped feed River Clan during the floods last New Leaf.
He turned away and bounded back to the river. Fireheart's heart ached as he watched his friend launch himself into the water and begin swimming strongly for the opposite bank. He would have given anything to have Graystripe back in ThunderClan, but he had to admit it seemed unlikely that the Grey Warrior could ever be accepted there again. Fireheart struggled to carry the slippery fish as the hunting patrol returned to camp, his mouth watering as the unfamiliar scent filled his nostrils. When he entered the camp, he saw that the pile of fresh kill already looked bigger. Cloudpaw and Brightpaw had returned, and were about to go out again with Mousefur and Thornpaw.
We fed the elders, Fireheart,
Cloudpaw called over his shoulder as he scampered up the ravine.
And Cinderpelt?
Fireheart called back.
Not yet.
Fireheart watched his young kin dash out of sight, and then turned back to the pile of fresh kill. Perhaps Graystripe's fish would tempt Cinderpelt, he thought. He suspected that the young medicine cat wasn't eating enough, out of grief for Yellowfang, and because she was so busy caring for the smoke-sick cats and Blue Star.
Are you hungry, Fireheart?
Asked Sandstorm, dropping the last of her catch onto the pile. In the end, she had waited to eat until they brought the prey back to camp, and she was eyeing the fresh kill avidly.
We could eat together if you like.
Okay.
The magpie Fireheart had eaten that morning seemed a long time ago now.
I'll just take this to Cinderpelt.
Don't be long,
meowed Sandstorm. Fireheart gripped the fish in his jaws and walked toward Cinderpelt's den. Before the fire, a lush tunnel of ferns had separated it from the rest of the camp. Now just a few blackened stalks showed above the ground, and Fireheart could clearly see the cleft in the rock that was the entrance to the den. He stopped outside, dropped the fresh kill, and called,
Cinderpelt!
After a moment, the young medicine cat poked her head out of the opening.
What? Oh, it's you, Fireheart.
She padded out of the den to join him. Her fur was ruffled, and her eyes didn't have their usual lively sparkle. Instead, she seemed distracted and troubled. Fireheart guessed that her mind was on Yellowfang.
I'm glad you're here,
she mewed.
There's something I want to tell you.
Have something to eat first, Fireheart urged her. Look, Graystripe caught a fish for us.
Thanks, Fireheart, Cinderpelt meowed. But this is urgent. Star Clan sent a dream to me last night.
Something about the way she spoke made Fireheart uneasy. He was still not used to the way that his former apprentice was growing into a true medicine cat, living without a mate or kits of her own, meeting secretly with other medicine cats and united with them through their bond with the warrior spirits of Star Clan. What was the dream about? He asked. He had experienced dreams like this more than once, warning him of things that were going to happen. That helped him to imagine, better than most clan cats, the mixture of awe and bewilderment that Cinderpelt must be feeling now.
I'm not sure.
Cinderpelt blinked in confusion.
I thought I was standing in the forest, and I could hear something large crashing through the trees, but I couldn't see what it was. And I heard voices calling, harsh voices, in a language that wasn't cat, but I could understand what they said.
Her voice trailed off. She stood gazing into the distance, her eyes clouded, while her front paws kneaded the ground in front of her. What did they say? Fireheart prompted. Cinderpelt shivered.
It was really strange. They were calling pack, pack, and kill, kill.
Fireheart couldn't help feeling disappointed. He had hoped that a message from StarClan might have given them some hint about how to deal with all his problems. Tiger Star's reappearance, Blue Star's illness, and the aftermath of the fire. Do you know what it means? He asked. Cinderpelt shook her head, a lingering look of horror in her eyes, as though she faced a huge threat Fireheart could not see.
Not yet. Maybe StarClan will show me more when I've been to Highstones. But it's something bad, Fireheart. I'm sure of it.
As if we haven't enough to worry about, Fireheart muttered. To Cinderpelt, he mewed. I don't know what I can do, unless we find out more. I need facts. Are you sure that's all the dream told you? Her blue eyes still wide with distress, Cinderpelt nodded. Fireheart gave her ear a comforting lick. Don't worry, Cinderpelt. If it's a warning about Shadow Clan, we're already watching out for them. Just tell me the moment you get any more details. He jumped as an irritated yowling sounded from behind him.
Fireheart, are you going to be all day?
Glancing around, he saw that Sandstorm was waiting for him at the entrance to the burned fern tunnel. I've got to go, he said to Cinderpelt.
But...
I'll think about it, okay? Fireheart interrupted her, his rumbling belly urging him to go and join Sandstorm. Let me know if you have any other dreams. Cinderpelt's ears twitched in annoyance.
This is a message from StarClan, Fireheart. Not just a root digging into my fur or a tough bit of fresh kill caught in my throat. It could affect the whole clan. We need to work out what it means.
Well, you'll be better at that than I am, Fireheart told her, backing away from Cinderpelt's den and tossing the last words over his shoulder. Bounding across the clearing toward Sandstorm, he wondered briefly what the dream could have meant. It didn't sound like an attack from another clan, and he couldn't think of anything else that might be a threat. As he tucked into the vole that Sandstorm had saved for him, he managed to put Cinderpelt's dream out of his mind. Chapter 4 Fireheart's flanks heaved as he fought for breath, and his cheeks stung where claws had raked across it. As he staggered to his feet, Brightpaw took a couple of steps back.
I haven't hurt you, have I?
The ginger and white apprentice asked anxiously. No, I'm fine, Fireheart gasped. Did Whitestorm show you that move? I never saw it coming. Well done. Trying not to limp, he padded across the training hollow to where Swiftpaw, Thornpaw, and Cloudpaw were watching. He had been assessing the apprentice's fighting skills, and they had all held their own against him. They had the makings of formidable warriors. I'm glad you're all on my side. I wouldn't want to meet you in battle, Fireheart meowed. I've had a word with your mentors, and they think you're ready, so I'm going to ask Blue Star if you can be made warriors. Brightpaw, Thornpaw, and Swiftpaw exchanged excited glances. Cloudpaw tried to look nonchalant, but there was a gleam of anticipation in his eyes, too. Okay, Fireheart went on. Hunt on your way back to camp, and see that the elders and the queens are fed. Then you can eat.
If there's anything left, mewed Swiftpaw.
Fireheart flicked a glance at him. Swiftpaw sometimes picked up discontented rumblings from his mentor, Longtail, who had once been a close ally of Tigerclaw. But on this occasion, he seemed to be trying to make a joke. All four young cats sprang up and dashed out of the training hollow. Fireheart heard Brightpaw yowling to Cloudpaw.
But I catch more prey than you.
It seemed a long time since he had been that carefree. Fireheart reflected as he followed more slowly. Under the weight of his responsibilities as deputy, he sometimes felt older than the elders. The clan was surviving, managing to find food and rebuild the devastated camp, but all the warriors were overstretched. Fireheart was on his paws from dawn to sunset, and every night he went to his den with tasks still undone.
How long can we go on? He asked himself. It'll get harder, not easier, when Leaf Bear comes.
Already the few leaves that the fire had left on the trees were turning red and gold. As Fireheart paused at the top of the hollow, he felt a chill breeze ruffle his fur, though the sun shone brightly. He slipped quietly back into camp and stood for a moment near the entrance, looking around. Darkstripe, who was in charge of the rebuilding, had started to patch the remaining gaps in the branches of the warrior's den. Dustpelt was working with him and the two younger apprentices, Fernpaw and Ashpaw. On the other side of the camp, Fireheart saw Cinderpelt making her way to the elder's den, carrying some herbs in her jaws. In the center of the clearing, Goldenflower's two kits were playing with Speckletail's kit, while the queens sat watching them near the entrance to the nursery. Willowpelt was there too, carefully guarding her litter, who were much younger, from the rough play of the older kits. Fireheart's gaze rested on Bramble Kit, the bigger of Goldenflower's kits. That strong, muscular body and dark brown pelt were disturbingly familiar. No cat who looked at the kit could doubt that Tiger Star was his father. The thought always made Fireheart uneasy, and he struggled to push it aside. Logically, he knew that he should feel just as suspicious of the kit's sister, Tawny Kit. But though she shared the same father, she didn't share the misfortune of looking exactly like him. Fireheart knew it was unfair to blame Bramble Kit for his father's crimes. Yet Fireheart could not banish the memory of the young kit clinging to a branch of a blazing tree, wailing in terror as Fireheart tried to reach him. And he could not forget that while he was rescuing Bramble Kit, the fire had trapped Yellowfang in her den. Had he sacrificed Yellowfang to save Tiger Star's son? Suddenly a shrill squeal came from the group of kits. Bramble Kit had bowled over Snow Kit and was holding him down on the ground with his claws. The squealing came from the sturdy White Kit, who didn't seem to be trying to defend himself. Fireheart shot forward, barreling into Bramble Kit and knocking him away from his victim. Enough! He snarled. What do you think you're doing? The dark tabby kit picked himself up, amber eyes glaring with shock and indignation. Well? Fireheart demanded. Bramble Kit shook dust off his fur.
It's nothing, Fireheart. We're only playing.
Only playing? Then why was Speckletail's kit crying out like that? The glow died from Bramble Kit's amber eyes, and he shrugged.
How should I know? He can't play properly anyway.
Bramble Kit! It was Goldenflower who spoke, coming to stand beside her kit. How many times do I have to tell you? If somebody squeals, you let go. And don't be so rude to Fireheart. Remember, he's the deputy. Bramble Kit's eyes flicked to Fireheart and away again.
I'm sorry, he mumbled.
Yes, we'll make sure it doesn't happen again, Fireheart snapped. Bramble Kit padded past him to where Snow Kit still crouched on the ground. Speckletail was giving his white fur a brisk lick.
Come on.